I'm Jess Clayman and I'm joined by Dr. Hardy Hulley, Senior Lecturer at the UTS Business School, to find out what the 2018 federal budget held for the banking sector. Do you believe that sufficient measures were developed in response to the Banking Royal Commission through this budget? Do you think it was enough?
Well, I don't think the budget's the right place to react to the commission. I will say this, though, that, I mean, in actual fact, this budget really didn't touch on banking directly a lot, as opposed to last year's budget, right? So last year's budget, they had the banking levy, which was, you know, quite a significant tax on banks' profits. The banking levy continues, but there are no additional measures. But the way this budget does interact with the Royal Commission is that in order to fund these tax cuts to individuals, the government is making fairly, you know, optimistic assumptions about what revenue can generate from corporate taxes and also from increased personal taxes due to larger unemployment. Larger employment. And the banking sector is a very large part of the economy. So if the commission, you know, uncovers some, you know, more shocks and this forces new regulations on the banks or scares away investors, then the assumptions that the government is making about how much revenue it can raise to fund the personal tax cuts could be in jeopardy. So that's probably the main place where you'd say the budget is interacting with the commission. But other than that, I mean, you know, there was only a statement in the budget saying that, you know, there's a plan to impose sort of discipline on banks for misbehavior and these kinds of things. But it's not really the budget's not really the place to actually deal with those issues.
So that those plans to kind of deal with misbehavior we're seeing in things like the Australian Financial Complaints Authority.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that's, of course, a previous initiative already, right? So that was, I think, announced in 2017, but coming online this year.
Do you think it will make a difference? Do you think it will have any significant impact?
Well, with all of these things, it's hard to tell, right? I mean, to some extent, these things are part of political maneuvering, and to some extent, they're designed to address a real issue. You can never tell with these programs in advance how well they'll work, but it could be. I mean, it does have the potential to decrease the amount of red tape, possibly discipline banks and other financial institutions better. And, you know, that's obviously, you know, that increase in transparency and that ability to get feedback from consumers is one of the best ways of ensuring that businesses behave ethically.
Absolutely. And it's something that I feel like the Australian public are really calling out for, especially in light of the Royal Commission.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, the Australian public have developed a very jaundiced view of the banking sector now. It's partly reasonable, I think. We have seen some legitimate issues come out of the Royal Commission, but it's partly also just that the banks have been massively successful, and people pay a lot of money in terms of, you know, home loan repayments and these kinds of things to banks. And there's always a sense when a particular sector of the economy is that profitable that people start to start to take a skeptical view of it.
Absolutely. Now, I'm wondering if you have any opinions on some of the superannuation measures contained in the budget. One of the big ones is recovery of lost super, banning exit fees. Do you think these measures will be effective? Do you think that they are reasonable measures?
Yeah, I think that they are reasonable measures. I mean, what the impact will be is unclear. I mean, it's always difficult to say for sure. I think the elimination of exit fees could be something that has a real impact and a positive one. Certainly, there's some parts of the superannuation industry that are sort of scrambling to react to this already.
Absolutely, they really are, and it's kind of that's the sense that we're getting.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's always a bunch of winners and losers the morning after a budget, right?
Absolutely, it's our favourite term to coin after a budget. Yeah. What would you have liked to have seen in the budget that maybe wasn't there or that wasn't given enough attention?
I'd say that, I mean, I think by and large it's a fairly sensible budget. I think probably the biggest criticism of it is that it is postponing the time that it's going to take for Australia, for the Australia to return to surplus. And the forecasts that they're making about when we're going to return to surplus, well, governments always make optimistic forecasts. So I think there was, in the opinion polls that were conducted before the budget, there were a larger number of respondents who felt that the government should concentrate on paying down its debts before passing through tax cuts. And this does postpone the amount of time, you know, push out the date that we're going to, after which we're going to essentially pay down the debt to some appreciable extent. But I also do think that, you know, simplifying the personal income tax structure is a positive thing. And there's a lot of good research to show that, you know, reducing taxes does in actual fact stimulate the economy.
Mm.
Whether it's going to do it as much as what the government is assuming is hard to tell.
$1 million question.
Yeah, but for sure, you know, I mean, and of course the government has benefited from, I mean, this current higher than expected revenue intake that it's had over this past year. It wasn't something that they can really pat themselves on the back for. This was really on the back of increased commodity prices and so on. So they've been lucky in a sense. And of course, if you're lucky, you can also be unlucky. That's another time. So, you know, I think broadly speaking, it's there's more in it that I like than dislike.